for someone like myself, who I've always felt like a sharp guy, I've always felt like I understand things quickly, I can make sense of things, pretty early on, and all of a sudden I was losing those abilities, and I was reading things, and my comprehension was gone, and I'm trying to do mental math in my head, and it's not working, and I realized all these things, and I felt like I was in fog.
Yeah.
I was just stuck in this fog, and I was like, this is bad. Like, I've never felt like this in my whole life, and this is bad.
Okay, everybody, welcome to the podcast. I am Dr. John Duffy, and I appreciate you protecting some time to spend with me and my guest here today. Speaking of which, I am fortunate enough today to be sitting across from Matt, and Matt was willing to share his story with us, and it's a story of I would argue, and you can tell me if I'm right here, Matt. Welcome, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah. A story of like reevaluation, reconsideration, and kind of a hard reset in your life, even when it appears as if everything's going perfectly well on paper. Is that fair? Is that a fair conceptualization of where we're headed?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, so take me back in time. Tell us a little bit about you, and let's go back to college when you were over at Indiana.
Sure. So went to Indiana, and I'd say my 4 years there went about as well as they possibly could. I was in a fraternity there. I was eventually the president of that fraternity, and we did really well. And I was also, in the business school at Indiana, and things went well there, and I did well, and ended up, getting good grades all the way through, and graduating with a degree in finance, and then after that, got a job in the city, in Chicago.
Wait, can I stop you for a second?
Absolutely.
You were also, and I'm just going to brag on you a little bit more than you are. You stood out in your fraternity nationwide. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you comfortable sharing the title you held your senior year or the year after? You were undergraduate of the year or something like that, right?
Right. Yeah, I was a president my junior year, and then during my senior year, I was actually I was chosen as it's called the ODC Award, and it's for it's the highest undergraduate award you can receive throughout the nation for our fraternity.
I just want people to get that I'm sitting across from a pretty impressive guy here. A pretty impressive charismatic. Okay. All right. Well, so you go and you get a job in the city. Do you mind sharing like what the nature of that work was?
Sure. So I was working for an investment company that deals in leverage buyouts, and my job was as an analyst to basically go and perform due diligence on companies and understanding why company A works well and why company A and company B does not work well, and understanding the ins and outs of the finances and the operations, and that was kind of my job in determining whether or not companies were worth investing in.
And just cutting through all of the business babble there, this is a badass job to have gotten, right? I mean, coming right out of business school, out of undergrad, without an MBA or anything, this is a great job, yeah, on paper?
Yeah, absolutely. It was on the same level, investment banking and things of that nature. So it was everything I wanted and some.
Yep. All right, so how long did you work in this field, in this particular job?
I was there for a little more than a year, just short of 2 years.
Yeah. How did it go?
When I started, it was great. It was a very difficult job. Working with all people that I felt were all smarter than me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a grind, but I felt really at home. I felt challenged every day.
Yeah.
Probably the first, call it 3 to 6 months there. But over time, I realized the guys around me, the way they're keeping up is they're all taking Adderall, and they're all doing whatever they can, clawing to just get by every day. And so I started doing the same thing.
Yeah. What did Adderall do for you guys? In other words, why was this a requisite part of the job? How many hours a week were you working? How taxing was it on your psyche? And did Adderall help?
So it certainly keeps you up and keeps you focused for a mm-hmm. long period of time. And we were working, some weeks were 70 hours and some weeks were 110. Just to put it in perspective, that's starting at 7 in the morning every day and leaving at 10:30 at night and doing the same thing on at least one day of the weekend, sometimes more, sometimes both days.
Oh, yeah. If you do the math on 110 hours, it's almost every waking hour.
It's almost a 16, 17-hour a day job.
Yeah.
Almost every day a week. And yeah. So, you know, just think about sitting at a desk for 16 straight hours.
And so you're in a bullpen full of people, and virtually everybody around you is taking Adderall in order to just keep up, in order to keep going.
The ones who were doing well, yeah.
Yeah.
There were guys who were struggling that weren't, and you could tell because they couldn't keep up.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So it was almost requisite, not on paper, but almost requisite.
If you wanted to succeed and be able to function at 9 at night like you do at 8 in the morning, then you needed to.
You know, I work with all these like teenagers, college students, high school students who take Adderall, almost never as prescribed, always taking it in some way that is like, you know, I'm going to do it for this test or, you know, and so many guys, and usually guys, end up getting in some kind of trouble, like overdoing it, taking too much of it. And hardly anybody's ever told me they feel good on it. But this has become one of my least favorite things, Adderall. And I never really thought much until you and I started talking about it, about the role it must play downtown in the business world and how many people down in the loop here in Chicago must be taking Adderall just to make it through their jobs.
Well, I know a lot of kids in the industry, and I have a lot of friends who not even necessarily in finance, who are just working other jobs. And, I mean, you'd be amazed at how many of them take Adderall, not necessarily on a daily basis, but at least a couple times a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anytime they go in on the weekends to work, they have to take it because it's, oh, how can I do work on the weekends without Adderall?
And to be clear, these aren't necessarily guys who've been diagnosed with attention deficit hyperactive disorder. These are guys who are just trading Adderall around the desks, right?
Yeah, it's, you know, usually none of them need it. It's
yeah.
There, you have the guys who convince their doctors to give them a prescription, which is not hard to do.
No.
And you have the other guys who buy it off of them. There's one or the other.
I suspect that this is kind of like an epidemic nobody knows about. I mean, do you think there's some truth to it?
I think it's certainly, I think the older generation doesn't understand how pervasive it is among the younger people in the workforce.
Right.
I mean, it's huge.
And, you know, I can imagine that in the room full of people you were working with, for some guys, it feels like it's working out perfectly well, right? Hey, I'm cranking out my 17 hours a day. I'm making bank. I'm doing really well. This is great. And a little Adderall to kick it in the gear is a small price to pay, and you know, and it gives you that jolt I need.
Right, and to give the people listening a perspective, I was taking it almost every single day, and basically as prescribed. I wasn't overdoing it. I wasn't taking double the dosage. I was taking it as prescribed in the morning, with a meal, you know, as they tell you to do it. And I'll tell you, for a while, it does make you feel better. It makes you feel like you're on top of the world. If any of you have ever seen the movie Limitless, you kind of get that feeling where you can do any, you can kind of conquer any task at hand. But over time, it starts to wear on you, and it wears on your sleep. And I got to the point where I was sleeping less and less every night because the Adderall just, you know, the way the half-life works, it just pumps through your system.
Mm-hmm.
You can feel your heart racing all the time. And that feeling just starts to get worse and worse, and that feeling of tired, and it's no longer I'm taking the Adderall because it's helping me. It's I'm taking it because I need this to get by today because I'm so tired and out of breath, not out of breath, but so tired and out of energy in the morning when I get there that if I don't take it, today is going to be a zero.
It sounds, to hear you tell it, really anxiety provoking. Like, you know, like once you get to the point where it's a grind, like, you know, the idea of being exhausted, having demand on your mind, and, you know, taking something that gets your heart racing, it seems like anxiety almost would be the absolute end of that. Did you feel anxious, you know, at some point?
Yeah, it because I think at some point you start to lose your ability to adapt to problems and to deal with problems, because the way you've kind of trained your body to deal with problems is by jacking up your heart rate so you're thinking crazy fast and you think you're always coming up with the best solution, but over time you don't. You learn that you're just cranking up your mind really fast. You're not thinking clearer. You're not
right.
Thinking better. You're not smarter.
Right.
You're just cracked out basically through the whole day, which yeah, it keeps you awake, but the side effects and the kind of the things that come with it are far more than you'd expect.
I can imagine. So you said, getting back to your story, you said for the first 3 to 6 months, this was great, right? Yeah. And I can imagine. But you were at that job for 18 months after that. How were those last 18 months there?
Well, I'd say the first few months I wasn't taking Adderall first because I didn't realize that that was kind of the thing. And then the grind starts to set in, the work grind starts to set in, and then you find out, well, how are all these other guys dealing with this all the time? Okay, well, they're taking Adderall. So then you start taking it.
Right.
And you're only taking it a few times a week because you're just taking it when you need it. But then it gets to the point where you're working a lot every day and you get that feeling as, oh, I need it now. I used to be able to work without it, but now, man, this, yeah, I got to take one if I'm going to get all this work done today.
Yep.
And once it got to the point that I was taking it every day, that last, call it year or maybe year and a half I was there, It was brutal. It really weighs on your psyche, on your emotional ability, your ability to kind of cope with stress and anxiety. You kind of lose that. And I found myself being really impatient, really short with people. And when a problem would come up and I didn't have Adderall, I would just like melt down.
Wow.
Because it's just this feeling of I'm not going to be able to cope with this.
Wow. And that went on for a year. That sounds wretched. That sounds like a really unhappy year. Is it balanced out by this idea that I'm making money and I've got this job that sounds pretty impressive? Is there ego enough to balance that out, or is it not even close?
Well, part of it is, I think when you're in the middle of it, I mean, at least to me, it feels like Adderall certainly chemically changes the way your brain works.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was in the kind of call it the worst of it, taking it every day, working 85 hours a week, you don't realize kind of the bad situation you're in because you're just trying to get by every day. And every day that you get through and somebody says, hey, good work today, you know, for me at least, that was enough to say, oh, I'm doing well. I'm doing great.
I'm going
to
do this again tomorrow. Yeah.
I'm killing it. Or and you know, especially for someone like, you know, in the finance world, I got a big bonus at the end of every year. And the day you get that big bonus check, it's like, everything you did was worth it, and it feels that way.
Yeah.
And you think, oh man, got to do what you got to do to make the money, and that's how it is. And that's, I think a lot of people have themselves convinced that way. I think there's a lot of people older who have themselves convinced that way.
Oh yeah, I think there's generations. I think my generation is convinced it lives that way. You know, might not be taking Adderall, but believes they have to live a certain way in order to be okay. You know, and I can imagine that there's a I worked in the corporate world, and I remember there being kind of this corporate culture that demanded that and created kind of this competition between us. Did you feel that? Did you feel like, oh yeah, the guy sitting next to me, I got to beat him, you know?
Definitely. Certainly when things like bonuses and a 3-star analyst gets paid more than a 1-star analyst and things like that, you start thinking about that, and that drives the problem even worse because it's either this guy's going to get the bonus or I am, and it a lot of times comes down to who's going to work longer and who's going to work harder. It's not necessarily who's smarter and who's a better guy.
Right.
Necessarily deserves it. And so the only way to do that is, or at least it feels like the only way to do that at times, is take some more Adderall, stay for a couple more hours, and, you know, crush some more work.
Right. And knowing you a little bit, I can imagine that a couple of years ago you felt like, this suits my personality. I'm a competitive guy. I've got energy. I understand this stuff. This is perfect for me. Did it feel like the right thing?
It did for a while.
Huh?
It did until it didn't.
And, well put.
I think it's anyone can work hard for a while. Most people can work hard for a while, but once you. You know, you go for a year of losing almost every weekend to work and working late every night and never being home for, you know, I missed the Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. I missed St. Patrick's Day. You think about all the events you missed, how many birthdays you missed. And all of a sudden, you kind of start wondering, I was like, wow, is this all worth it?
Like, right, right.
You know, I might have a great job. I may think that this is the job I wanted, but I've already lost 2 years of my life, and what do I have to show for it? Other than some money in my bank account, which doesn't go as far as you'd think.
Yeah, yeah. So, right, you missed a lot, right? I mean, I think about, like, missing the Stanley Cup, and you live in the area where it's, like, there was chaos, there was a frenzy, and you weren't there for it, right? I mean, yeah, it's part of the reason you're down there is to be there for things like that. So I can imagine that this taps you out at some point. So take us to the end of the 2 years. What happens where you decide that this no longer works for you?
Well, I started getting to the point where I was working every weekend. And anytime somebody wanted to hang out, the answer was no before I even looked at my schedule. People would say, hey, we're going to go to Wisconsin for the weekend. Somebody's lake house, you want to come? And I wouldn't even look at my calendar. I would say, no, I can't. I got to work. Even though I didn't have work, nothing was scheduled, I knew something was going to happen. And it got to the point where, you know, I have young siblings, you know, back at home, and I hadn't seen them for 3 months. And these are my siblings, and they live in the same city as me.
Uh-huh.
And I said, this is just no way to live. And I was taking Adderall every day, and I knew it wasn't working well. I knew that there were underlying problems that I wasn't addressing.
It does feel like kind of like so out of balance that it is bound to hit a wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at the time, the thing is you convince yourself otherwise. You don't convince yourself that that's going to happen. You convince yourself, you know, one more week of this really bad stuff and things will get better.
Wow.
And I'll be able to wean off of it and I can be back to normal again. Or, you know, 2 years down the road, I'm not going to be taking Adderall every day. Like, the guys who are 25 and 30 don't take Adderall every day. But the thing is that it doesn't work like that. It's a drug.
Yeah, no, I can hear that you can see right through the justifications that you and the other guys were throwing out there. Yeah, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, you know, eventually I got to the point where I knew I wasn't succeeding. And I knew my only form of success was just because I was staying there so late every night that I was bound to get some work done.
Yep.
But the Adderall stopped working at some point. And I was cracked out, and I was sitting at my desk, and I wasn't feeling any smarter, any more accomplished, and I wasn't getting work done. And I eventually said, "Look, this isn't working."
Must have been terrifying, man.
Yeah,
I'm thinking like just the Adderall stopping working, right? So you're thinking like, "This is the thing I'm leaning into. This is what I need in order to get by." It no longer works, you know. Like, and I don't know how to up the ante, you know, cocaine, you know, and I would imagine maybe somebody does.
I'm sure there's guys that do, but for someone like myself, who I've always felt like a sharp guy, I've always felt like I understand things quickly, I can make sense of things, you know, pretty early on, and all of a sudden I was losing those abilities, and I was reading things, and my comprehension was gone, and I'm trying to do mental math in my head, and it's not working, and I realize I have to use a calculator to do basic addition and subtraction, which I used to just do with a snap of a finger. And,
no kidding, really.
And I realized all these things, and I felt like I was in a fog.
Yeah,
like, I was just stuck in this fog, and I was like, "This is bad. Like, I've never felt like this in my whole life, and this is bad. Like, no, you're not supposed to feel like this." I'd started upping the dose a little bit on Adderall just because, you know, so it's not working anymore.
Right.
And upping the dose, and it wasn't working. That it wasn't working anymore. It didn't matter what I was. Didn't matter how much it took. I felt awful.
Yeah, so it sounds like it. Not only was it not working, you felt bad, like it, right? Yeah, physically.
Physically, I mean, you feel. So I was taking more of it, so I feel sweaty. You know, your heart's racing. You're not hungry. Your mouth's dry.
Yeah.
Your mouth tastes terrible. So it gives you bad breath, and you're sitting there, and you're just kind of praying for every day to be done.
Wow, man.
And that's kind of the lifestyle that I think a lot of people are kind of stuck in the middle right now.
Yeah, yeah. So to those people, like, you know, if you had an audience of them and you're doing your TED Talk, what would you say to them? Like, you know, if they're just getting, if they're ramping up on Adderall thinking this is going to be my saving grace.
You know, I'm not going to say don't do it because everyone can do their own thing. And for some people it works. There are people out there who take Adderall every day and who are sitting at their desk and they are perfectly happy with that lifestyle and they're okay with it. But I think there's a lot of people out there, myself included at one point, who are trying to convince themselves that what they're doing is the right thing. And it's because their parents are telling them that's the type of job they should be in, and because the people around them are telling them that's what they should be doing, that they'll basically do anything to be there. And you just convince yourself, look, yeah, I know other people are taking Adderall, and I know it doesn't, you know, I've had other people have had kind of fizzle outs and you know, big collapses, but that's not me. Like, I can handle this stuff. Believe me, guys. Like, I can handle all the other drugs in college and everything. There's no reason I can't handle Adderall every day, especially when I'm taking it as prescribed.
And that feels, if I hear you right, like kind of a dangerous perspective to feel like, you know, I got this. I can handle this, even if I up the ante a little bit. Don't worry about it. I've got it under control.
Yeah, because I mean, like, when I was in college, I was one of those guys who could handle it. You know, it's other people, they can't handle the drinking. Oh, they can't handle the pot. They can't handle the drugs. I was always able to handle it. So I figured, if I could handle all that, there's no reason that I can't handle taking Adderall as prescribed every single day. You know, how the doctors tell you should take it. These are doctors that are telling you this is how you're supposed to take it.
Yeah, right.
And so you think you're all good. It's like, look, I'm not like tripling the dose here. Why would things go wrong for me? There's how many other million American kids are out there taking Adderall every day?
How bad can it be?
But,
yeah.
You know, the thing is, it just changes who you are. It changes your chemical makeup. It changes how you think.
Yeah. Well, it must have been such an odd time for you. I'm just thinking about the arc of your life story. And you strike me as a guy who was beyond in control of everything around him, you know, and in balance, like, you know, academically doing really well and socially doing really well. You're maintaining a relationship for a really long time. Everything, you're hitting on all cylinders for year after year after year, and things are under control. So you're right. You know how to manage your life. Suddenly, it must be so weird to feel like, I'm not sure I have this.
Yeah. And things that used to be easy, like getting your dry cleaning done and getting a load of laundry done on the weekends and making sure your dishes are clean, all of a sudden became almost impossible. And I was struggling so hard just to get the easy things done.
Wow.
The hard things became impossible. I mean, you know, trying to make it out to somewhere to be at somebody's party at a certain time when it was difficult to get there, that was just basically an impossible thing to do, which normally would be so easy for everyone.
Oh, yeah. Right, right.
I think one of the things that Adderall really does, one of its biggest side effects, is it affects your ability to solve problems, because it you use it as a vice and a crutch when you have problems as a way to help you solve them. But then the problem is when you don't have it anymore and you're not taking it, you think you're nothing without it. And how am I going to be able to get all this work done without Adderall today? And then instead of just doing it, you say, I can't do it. It's not that I can go try and do it. It's like, there's no way I can get this done without Adderall. And
yeah.
It really, really affects your coping skills and your ability to just adapt.
It feels like something beyond addiction in a weird way. It feels like kind of like this need for it in order to function. And at some point, in order to function basically. So I get where you start taking it because it's like, I got this really challenging job and it's taken up all this time. And then after a certain period of time, when you up the ante, you take a little more, you realize, I think I need this stuff in order to make it to a party, you know, like, which feels like, to hear you say it, like, just absurd, right?
Yeah, like you said, when you used to take it, it was because, oh, this was so challenging and I need a little bit of an extra kick for me to be able to really function here. But, you know, after a year, and I only took it for a year, year and a half, and there's people who have been taking it for 5, 10 years. But eventually it got to the point where it was, you know, oh, I need to do, I need to fill out an easy form online today for, like, my health insurance. I got to take some Adderall to do it because I'm not going to be able to do this just straight up sitting here.
Wow. So at some point, how does this job end? Do you quit this job? Are you fired from this job? What happens next?
Like I said, I got to that point where I was feeling like foggy, and I had lost my ability to understand and think critically on a daily basis, and I could feel myself starting to kind of spiral, and I knew the quality of my work was starting to decline, and I had one of my bosses call me in and kind of chew me out. It was like, what is going on? What are you doing? You used to be such a hardworking guy, and all of a sudden, the last week or two, it's like you've fallen off the face of the earth. Whatever's wrong, you better figure it out today, and like, you know, get your ass back out there and start working again.
Perform, yeah.
I don't have time for you to figure this all out. And so I went back to my desk and you said, I'm going to keep trying this, and came the next morning and was even more miserable than I was when I left that day, the day before. And I walked into my boss's office and I said, I'm giving my 2 weeks. You can't change my mind and I'm done. I didn't sign up for this. And that was it.
Man. So, I'm going to do a really cheesy podcast trick here, and I'm going to use this as a cliffhanger. Will you stick around and talk to me for another half an hour? We'll call it for now, and we'll talk for another little while about where you went from there.
Yeah.
Is that cool? All right. Thank you for listening today. You can find our podcast on iTunes, on Podbean, and soon to be on WGN Plus. If there's anything you'd like me to talk about on the podcast, follow me, Dr. John Duffy, on Facebook and let me know. Thank you so much for your time. And tune in next time. We're going to have more with Matt. We're going to find out where he goes from that intense job and that Adderall issue, where his life takes him from there. Thanks.